Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you a program with a discourse of Osho and music from the world of Osho, made by friends and lovers of Osho from different countries speaking different languages. At the moment, we are thinking about changing the format of the Osho Radio website. Osho has said to spread his words through all technical means available. And that implies that maybe today the website is a little bit out of date, and we are trying to find new ways to reach you and make easy listening possible. For the next couple of months, we'll keep you posted about our new developments. Now the program today, it contains a wonderful discourse of Osho about the meaning of religion. To me, religion has always seemed something superfluous, something to get rid of. It was actually a bit of a reactionary thing when we grew up. These days, religion plays another role, but still exists. Is peace a possibility on our planet with all these different religions fighting each other? About this and other things, Osho is talking in the discourse of today. Just sit back and relax, and let Osho surprise you with things that maybe you have never heard ever before.
Broken wings, bring it all and everything. Bring the song you fear to sing. All is welcome here. And even if you broke your vow 1,000 times, come anyhow. We're stepping into the power of now. All is welcome here. Father and the Son, reunited, here they come, dancing to the sacred drum, they know they're welcome here. See the shaman and the mighty priest, see the beauty and the beast, singing I have been released, and all is welcome.
Waking up, let it go. La 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 la.
The discourse today is from the series Come, Come, Yet Again Come, number 10, question number 2. The questioner asks Osho, why can't there be one religion with all the good things of all religions in it? It is a rather ideological question. Everybody is different. In that sense, everybody has his own religion, and putting it on others will create a cage for them. Priests and politicians do just that, and moreover, they create divisions between groups of people. Osho says man is not religious yet. There can be religiousness. That's something else than a religion. A religion is an established institution, an organization, and religiousness is a quality that every human being can have, just as prayerfulness, gratitude, trust. These qualities can create a togetherness, a brotherhood for men, without fight, without division.
The second question. Bhagwan, there are so many religions in the world which cause so many divisions amongst people. Although all religions have good things in them, why can't there be a religion which has the good things of all religions, which is accepted universally, and which breaks down all divisions, thus causing a world fraternity? Kindly show the way. The first thing to be understood is there are many types of people in the world. They can't belong to one religion. It is inevitable that there will be many religions. To impose one religion on the whole of humanity will be ugly. It will destroy the immense richness that variety brings. Just think of a world where only the Bible exists, no Vedas, no Upanishads, no Quran, no Dhammapada, no Bhagavad Gita, no Tao Te King. It will be a very poor world. The world needs certainly a brotherhood, certainly a fraternity, a great love, a universality, but that cannot come by imposing a certain religion. Any religion that you choose will be applicable only to few people. And the majority will feel imprisoned. For example, just look around. Mahavira has a certain appeal, but only to few people. I myself would not like the life that he lived. Still I say he lived beautifully. As far as he is concerned, he lived beautifully, authentically. but he is not the person that I would like to follow. He lived naked, fasting for days together. To me, that seems to be a kind of self-torture. Animals live naked. They can live because they have a totally different kind of skin. Thicker skin. And moreover, whenever winter comes, their bodies start growing hairs. Man is no more an animal. He has lost that hairy growth on his body. To leave him in the cold, standing naked, is an unnecessary masochistic attitude. It may fit to few people because people are different in many ways. To Mahavira, it must have fitted, otherwise nobody was imposing the idea upon him. To live naked. He may have a certain different kind of body structure, different hormones, a hotter blood, a thicker skin. I am not saying that he should not have lived naked, and I am not saying that there is nothing beautiful in it if somebody enjoys it, if somebody feels beautiful in it, it is good. But it cannot be made into an universal religion. The whole humanity shivering in cold, in great fraternity, chattering their teeth, will not be of a very good scene. I cannot support it. Buddha ate only one time every day. It may suit to few people's bodies. In fact, it cannot suit to the majority, because man has come from the monkeys. That's what scientific research proves. And you can watch the monkeys on the trees, and they are all Americans, munching the whole day. To force a monkey to stick to one meal a day will destroy his life. In fact, only lions eat one time a day because their diet is non-vegetarian. Only non-vegetarians can live on one meal a day. The vegetarian cannot survive. Or even if he survives, the survival will be only at the minimum level of his energies. The vegetarian has to eat many times at least 2 times and at the most 5 times. One meal a day is not good for the vegetarians. And if you are pure vegetarians, just living on vegetables and fruits, then you will have to eat many more times. Because larger quantities have to be taken and absorbed. Now it is very strange that Mahavira and Buddha both are in favor of vegetarianism and still they insist for one meal a day. The reason that I think is they both came from non-vegetarian families. They both belong to the race of the warriors. They must have become accustomed of eating meat. And then it is easy for them. But people who have lived for centuries on vegetables, if they try to live on one meal a day, they will be living in a state of undernourishment. Malnutrition. And it not only disturbs your body, it disturbs your mental faculties too. You can see it happening all over the world. Only very rarely a vegetarian gets a Nobel Prize. It affects your intelligence. You become a vegetable. If you are uneducated, then a cabbage. Or at the most, a cauliflower. Cauliflower means a cabbage with a college education. People are different. Their systems are different. For example, women and men cannot belong to the same system. The women can accumulate more fat. Men cannot. That is a biological difference. The woman needs, because when she becomes pregnant and a child is growing within her womb, she cannot eat well. She starts vomiting. Eating becomes difficult. She feels sick and nauseous. For those emergencies, the body accumulates layers of fat. Man has no need because he is not going to become pregnant. Hence, man's physiology is different. That's why women can fast very easily. This is my observation. The Jaina nuns are far more truer to their religion than the Jaina monks. The Jaina nuns can fast very easily. They accumulate fat. And what is fasting, in fact? When you fast, you are eating your own meat. Then in different climates, in different geographies, different kinds of things are bound to happen. You cannot have one religion around the earth. Yes, you can have one kind of religiousness, but not one religion. You can see here, gathered around me, all kinds of people from all countries, all races. But we are not a new religion. I am not trying to create one religion. We are just creating a quality, a religiousness, meditativeness, prayerfulness, trust, gratitude towards existence. Yes, on these things, humanity can become a great brotherhood. But about details, many things are bound to remain different. And they should remain different. There is no reason to destroy this variety. It will be like you love roses, so you start growing only roses. I know one of my friends. He is a lover of roses. He has a very big garden. Because he loves roses, in his garden there are only roses, no other flower, no other plant. When I went to see his garden, I told him, this is not a garden. This looks like a field, just as somebody grows wheat, you grow roses. But this is not a garden. He was a little bit shocked, but his manager understood it immediately. He said, you are right. That's my feeling. For years we have forgotten about the garden. We are selling roses. We are treating roses as crop. When you have only roses, it loses something, the variety, the multidimensionality. The world will be really very poor if you have only Mahaviras, or only Christ, or only Buddhas, or only Krishnas. Jesus is beautiful with his cross. But so many Jesuses are trying to hang themselves on their crosses. Won't make a beautiful scene. It will be like a nightmare. Krishna is beautiful playing on his flute. But how many Krishnas you can allow? If the whole world is playing on the flute, you will go mad. I accept the multidimensionality in every field of life. You say there are so many religions in the world which cause so many divisions amongst people. The divisions are not needed. That is human stupidity. If you love rose, good. There is no question of fighting with you. I love the lotus and you love the rose. But we both are lovers of flowers. That's where is the meeting point, that we both love flowers. You love Christ, that is one flower. I love Buddha, that is another flower. Somebody else loves Lao Tzu, that is another flower. We are all friends because we love flowers. And I can appreciate your rose, you can appreciate my lotus. There is no need to create any divisions. The divisions come from man's political mind. It has nothing to do with religions. It is man's politics that brings divisions, conflicts, quarrels, wars, blood cells. The whole history of humanity is full of calamities created in the name of religion, but not created by religious people. A Buddha, a Zarathustra, a Chuang Tzu. These are not the people who create trouble, but the priests and the politicians. They are a totally different kind of person, a different species. But they hide behind Marx. They hide behind the religious doctrines, churches, and they start playing their games in a very subtle way. The manyness of religions is not bad, but divisions in the name of religions are ugly. That simply shows man is not religious yet. You say, although all religions have good things in them, true, but they also have many bad things in them. Each religion has some good things and some bad things. And the problem is, those good things and those bad things are not separable. You cannot separate them. You cannot just choose the good and leave the bad. That's impossible. If you choose the good, the bad comes from the back door. For example, if you choose the idea of fate, many religions believe in the idea of fate. It has something good in it because it helps you to relax. It helps you to trust existence. It helps you to be unworried. But then there is something bad in it too. It makes you lazy, lousy. It makes you Indian. It makes you slaves. It makes you accept any humiliation. For 22 centuries, India has been in slavery for the simple reason that it believes in fate. Now, how can you separate these two things? If everything happens according to God, it will give you few good things. You will be able to tolerate, to accept many miseries, sufferings, with equanimity, with a certain tranquility, calmness, quietness. That will give you strength, integrity, a grace, But then you will also become a slave. Anybody can dominate you. Anybody can exploit you. And the same is true about every other idea. For example, Jainas believe that life is dominated by the theory of karma. And not only Jainas, Hindus, Buddhists, all three great religions of India believe in the theory of karma, that whatsoever you are now, you are the byproduct of your past karmas. You have to fulfill. You have to suffer. If you have done anything bad, and you will be rewarded if you have done anything good. You have heard the saying that every dark cloud has a silver lining. I would like you to be reminded that every silver lining also has a dark cloud to it. Yes, the religions have good things in them, that is true. But those good things also have bad sides. And a truly religious person will not bother about choosing. He will start living according to his consciousness. He will not follow Jesus, Buddha, or Mahavira, or Muhammad. To follow is to be political. Only blinds follow. Superstitious people follow. Gullible people follow. The people who are intelligent, they try to understand Buddha, Mahavir, Krishna. But it is just an effort to understand the message, what these people were doing, what they were living. And then finally, he has to discover his own inner light. That's what I call meditation. The moment you have discovered your own inner insight, you follow it. Then you are religious. Neither Hindu, nor Mohammedan, nor Christian. A religious quality, a fragrance will surround you. You will be more loving, more compassionate. And these will be the qualities. You will be more authentic, more sincere. And you will be able to understand different points, different angles, and different paths leading to the same goal. The truth is like the sunlit top of the Everest. Thousands of paths can reach there. There is no need to make one asphalt road. Let people follow their own path. Let them discover. The joy of discovery is far more greater than the joy of arrival. Let them discover their path, inquire, and let them follow their own insight. Of course, they will fall many times, they will go astray. That is part of freedom. That is beautiful, nothing is wrong in it. You say, why can't there be a religion which has the good things of all religions? That is impossible. That will be just a hodgepodge. It will be like you are suffering from one illness and you go to the druggist and you tell him, make a medicine out of all the good medicines that you have got. All that is good in every medicine, put it into the combination. That combination will kill you. Certainly it will destroy your illness because it will destroy you too. Your illness needs a certain medicine only, You don't need all the medicines and all that is good in all the medicines. You say, why it cannot be accepted universally? Because people have so many different minds, different attitudes, different visions, different lifestyles. Why they should live in one uniform way? They should be allowed freedom. Freedom is one of the greatest religious qualities. And if they are allowed freedom, then they are free to choose. If somebody loves Quran, I don't think he will be able to love Tao Te King. They are totally different visions. You can recite Quran. There is no need to understand even the meaning of it. The very reciting is tremendously beautiful, ecstatic. The Quran is really to be recited, not understood. There is not much to understand in it. Many Mohammedan friends, many of my Mohammedan sannyasins go on writing to me, Bhagwan, when you are going to speak on Quran? I cannot really speak. I have thought many times, because there is not much to say about Quran. It is a song. It is a shout of joy. What can you say about it? You can dance and sing, you can recite, but nothing can be said about it. While about Tao Te King, one can go on saying for years. It is inexhaustible, but you cannot sing it. There is no song in it. The people who have the musical ear, for them Quran will be the right thing. The people who have a philosophical bent, for them Tao Te King will be something of immense value. Not to reduce the whole humanity in one type is not a good idea. Man can become a family without destroying the variety. There is no need to destroy different angles of seeing. They all enhance existence. The birds sing differently. The flowers bloom differently. The trees have different colors, shades, different leaves. Every river has its own song. Every mountain has its own poetry. And so is the case with every individual. To me, each individual is far more valuable than the whole society. Let me say it in this way. The individual is the goal, not the universal. The universal is only an abstract idea. Have you ever seen the universal? Have you ever met the universal? Have you ever said to the universal, "Hello, how are you?" You will always meet the individual. Individual is the real. The universal is only an abstraction, an idea. Don't be too much interested in ideas. They don't exist. Remain more concrete, more realistic. And each individual has uniqueness. And I respect that uniqueness. And then it is his freedom, whatsoever he chooses. It is nobody else's business, not even your parents' business, to give you a religion. Or the priest, or the society, or the state. Nobody's business to give you your religion. Everybody should be allowed to find his own religion. That will be the real state of fraternity. and we have to respect the other with all his uniqueness. And we have to say to the other that it is good for you, so you follow it. It is not good for me, so I am going on another route. And if by chance we meet somewhere, it will be beautiful, because I will share my journey to you, and you will share your journey to me. And we both will be enriched in that way.
This was Osho Radio for today. We hope you enjoyed the program and will take the words and silences of Osho with you. The music was by Devakant, playing the flute with a piece of music called Petals on the Pond from his CD Blowing Zen. Then Miten and Premal were singing their song Before the Discourse, All is Welcome Here, from their CD Satsang. After the discourse, you listen to Nandin, Cross Currents, and we'll play one of my favorite songs by Mila Repa to finish off this broadcast of Osho Radio. It is called River of Grace from his CD Daydreams. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned to Osho Radio and make sure you're with us again. Take care and namaste.
Set up.